Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us at this very special time. We're going to do the same time tomorrow as well as actually just tomorrow. Back to normal on Thursday, back to 1 o'clock. Everyone, thank you, thank you, thank you for hanging out with us here today on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Special guest coming in about 20 minutes or so, the one, the only, Ed Smith, Easy Sports Talk Radio, will be joining us. We have so much to get into today. NBA playoffs, the Suns demolished, don't let the score fool you, they demolished the Dallas Mavericks. Miami took care of business with Philadelphia. Tonight we have two more games, Boston and Milwaukee, and Golden State and Memphis. I'll give you my picks on those two games as well. We were off yesterday on assignment. A lot of stuff happened. DeAndre Hopkins, man, what were you thinking? The draft, I don't believe in draft grades. I heard someone say, oh, you don't believe in draft grades, blah, 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 whatever that means. But we will be giving who we think did well in a draft and tell young players, put on cleats, get set, and get out there and play. I do not give draft grades. I will tell you I think went in the right direction. We'll do that here. But you can't give a grade for someone in football. You just can't. Football, unlike any other sport, there's too many nuances to the game. So we will get into that as well. We'll do that with Ed Smith as well. Like I said, thank you for joining us. Special time today and tomorrow. Looking forward to getting in all this info with everyone. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's locally in Chandler, Arizona, Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get in and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10%. That's right, 10% off of your cigar purchase. You also can become a club member, get your access to the members' lounge. They do serve adult beverages. So while you're enjoying your stick, you can have an adult beverage, watch all the games. They have all the NBA games on, all the USFL games, all Major League Baseball. It is the place to go to watch your games. Now, if you don't become a member, still plenty of great places to sit and enjoy. If you can't make it down there, no worries. Just let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of your cigar in the building. If you're not in the building and you can't make it down there, just go to Stogie World. That's STOAGIE World.com. Order early enough in the day, it will ship the same exact day. All that happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Call the numbers 917-889-7828. Can't believe May is here already. It is May 3rd. So you know what that means. May the 4th be with you tomorrow. Yes, I am a Star Trek nerd. I mean, a Star Wars nerd, and I will be all over that tomorrow. I do have a caller calling in. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Yeah, why ain't coming with the 4th? First of all,
oh, May the 4th tomorrow. I am a Star Wars geek.
So I
absolutely love it. Star Wars.
Use the Force, Luke. Luke, use the Force.
Hey, search your soul. You know this.
Remember, I'm as old as you are.
I'm so getting into Star Wars tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right about one thing, Paul. Because you know, I actually did make, you know, a grade on my show on Saturday, even though you got a point, because I don't think it's fair to, you know, grade the whole team, you know, when the draft comes. Some grade, like, you know, like say they would grade the Lions an F, obvious reasons, of course, or maybe the Giants like a B minus or whatnot. But I don't know if that's right or not to do so. I gave the Jets actually a B because, you know what, because they actually did something right this time. They went for what they needed instead of getting what they were wanting. And that, I think, makes a big difference.
Yeah, I do like it. I mean, I like what teams do, and I try to look at what the logic is and what they were doing. Getting Sauce Gardner at number four when, you know, for whatever reason, the Texans wanted to go with Derek Stingley, who I think is a fine young man, hasn't had the sophomore junior year follow up to his freshman year. But what does that mean? I mean, what really does that mean when he gets to the pros? And same with Sauce Gardner. He's an incredible player. Will he translate to the pros? I believe he will. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, who the Giants took at number five. I heard people say, well, no, they should have taken Ekwonu. I always mispronounce the young man's name. If they would have taken him at five, and then that would have forced Evan Neal to go to the Panthers at six, and then Thibodeau would have still been there at seven. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're splitting hairs with Evan Neal. Evan Neal is an incredible tackle.
Yeah.
So we're splitting hairs. If you got the guy that you wanted, then that's what you have to do. Now, there may be some reaches. It said that Cole Strange in Chattanooga, that was taken by the Patriots, the kid out of Chattanooga, there are some draft grades that had him at, you know, going around two or three. What if he ends up being a 10-year lineman for the Patriots? In 7 years, are we going to go back and say, well, in that draft in 2022, the Patriots reached for him, but they hit? I mean, that's ridiculous.
What is that going to do?
So let's see how they – I think so many people treat this like fantasy football. You know, and I don't know if you play fantasy football, but people say stuff. Okay, well, you know, people say stuff like, "Oh, you get to one in the fifth round," I go, "Oh, great pick, great value." Or you get to one in the 11th round, "Oh, great pick, great value." What does that mean?
Nothing.
It's nothing. So I think a lot of people now, because of fantasy football, treat the real draft like fantasy. Well, in fantasy, you're not drafting offensive linemen. you're drafting wide receivers, tight ends, whatever. So I think a lot of teams got it right on paper, but we'll see. I mean, that's all we can do. We'll see.
Yeah. But no point in thinking, well, let's see, in 2020, let's say it's now in 2029, well, we made this mistake back in 2022. What if it's, you know, that's not going to work.
No, and I've been on certain teams, and I'm not going to lie. I was on the Cardinals GM for some of the picks that he's made in the past. Well, I'm looking at the totality. This year, it looks like he got it right. I mean, you got to give credit where it's due. On paper, it looks like he got what the Cardinals needed. And so when you get on someone, you have to then give them credit when it's perceived that they've done a good job. And so he made a trade in the first round and moved and got the wide receiver, the kid from Baltimore, and just in time because their number one receiver is going to be out six games because he couldn't stay off PEDs. So, did they get what they needed? Yeah. Trey McBride, a young tight end out of Colorado State. I think it's a good pick. I mean, you're helping an offense that needs help. There are some that say, well, maybe they should have taken a defensive player first. Well, we don't know. What if Cameron Thomas or MyJ Sanders end up being that diamond? Who knows? And that's the point that I'm trying to get a lot of people to see. When you're drafting, Lou, you know this, when you draft in baseball, you're not going to see that player for 3 years. When you draft in basketball, if they're not good in the first 2-3 years, you're like, uh-oh, bust. In football, your second and third round players or picks, they play.
Yes.
So it's different. Different concepts all the way around. You know, and what gets me is the Seahawks stuff. Oh, well, all they had to do was plug and play. They got a quarterback. They made a couple good picks. They're now the best team in the AFC behind Buffalo. So let me ask this question. Maybe I missed something. Were the Chiefs in the AFC championship game 4 years ago? Yeah. Were they there 3 years ago? Yeah. Oh, they won a Super Bowl. Were they there 2 years ago? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they were there. Were they there last year? Oh, wait, they were there. Why are we talking about Buffalo being the best when the team that's been in the AFC championship game the last 4 years eliminated Buffalo twice? We just discount them because they traded one wide receiver? I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
So, wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
That's my take on the draft. You can't put that much into it in terms of this guy's going to be great. This isn't basketball. There are misses.
There are definitely misses. More so than we admit.
Exactly. Yankees, red hot.
Yeah. See, I told you guys, everybody was thinking the first week, oh, well, they're off to a horrible start. They haven't won a series yet the first week. Oh, shut up. You guys are better than that. I mean, really. Two and four of the first week. Oh, they're not going anywhere. Yeah. We'll see about that in about 3 weeks in the season later. Ha ha.
Yeah, they always end up 0-5.
Right.
You're never going to get me to bet against them because, worst case scenario, they have money to spend. They'll go get somebody.
No, but I know a lot of Yankee haters.
You know, they will go get somebody. Now, the team that I think is just a travesty to the sport is the Cincinnati Reds. You can't do that. You can't have a payroll that bad and a team that bad that's won 3 out of 22 games, have managed to scratch out 67 runs in 22 games. They're not even averaging 3 runs a game. You just can't be that bad. You basically are just stealing money from your fans. And yeah, I know KC doesn't score, and I know Detroit doesn't score a lot, but they've found ways to at least scratch some wins out. I think it's a travesty what's happening in Cincinnati, and I think it's unfair to fans because I guarantee you they're not putting tickets on sale for half price because they're giving us a half product.
Come watch us suck.
Yeah, that's the one thing about baseball.
And I thought the Tigers were bad.
Yeah, that's the one thing about baseball I don't like. And you know they're going to be sellers, and you know they're only going to get worse, and they have no incentive to get better. That's the sad part.
How do you not have one, though? You have to have something. I mean, because, you know, at 3-19, you kind of have some incentive because you got to do that to get better.
It's May 3rd. We're a month into baseball, and they're 11 and a half games out. That's unacceptable.
That is, but it's not mathematically impossible either. I mean, it's only May 3rd, not September 3rd.
There's an old saying: you can't win the pennant in April and May, but you sure can lose it.
Not always.
And they're already on the wait till next season.
So what's the tragic number? 130?
Oof. There's no way they can keep losing at this clip. So let's just
no.
For for fun, let's just say they're 3-20. That's 15 and 100. That means they would win 15 out of their first 100. We're literally looking at 135 losses or more.
Wow, that'd be the greatest comic tragedy in all of baseball.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I think it's
wow.
Sad. And baseball is wondering why they struggle at times with fans,
yeah,
and TV and whatnot. They're 1-7 at home. Who wants to even go to a game? And think about it. Let's just say this team scratches out to win, and they're like,
yeah,
I don't know, 20-70, and it's August, and it's July. You want to go sit in that humidity and watch a 20-win team out of 70 games? No.
No, the bag, not without a bag over my head, no.
No, and it's too hot for that, too.
Oh, yeah. Probably
so,
right.
So that's
it's
just
a shame, though. I just shouldn't know how you can be that bad. You know, there's no reason.
You don't spend.
Spending
you
money
don't
isn't
going
to make your team better always, you know.
But your payroll can't be that bad. Your payroll can't be that low. You know what I mean? If your payroll is that low, you can't do anything. You're sending out minor league guys. That's just unacceptable. And we've talked about it for like 4 minutes. I'm sure in Cincinnati, they don't talk about it that much. And just to give you a quick look, Joey Votto makes $25 million a year.
Yes.
Mike Moustakas makes 16, and Tommy Pham makes 6. You can't add almost that's $47 million of their cap. Okay? $57 million of their cap. Their next guys, 5, 4, 3, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 8, 1, 2, 700,000, 800,000, they're sending out a minor league team. And Joey Votto win games like that.
No. But I still say it doesn't matter what your payroll is. If you're just not, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, you're not gonna win.
No, I get that. But when you have four position players, only four position players making over $3 million, and then you got to go all the way down after that, and your center fielder is your next guy at 1.2, third baseman 1, your backup third baseman $900,000. You can't fit. Your starting catcher makes $700,000. You can't fill the team like that. You just can't. That's an insult. But, all right, my friend, we are on the same time tomorrow. May the 4th be with you tomorrow before I catch up with you. Search your feelings.
All right. Yes.
And we'll see what happens.
You got it. All right, Paul, thanks.
All right, buddy, we'll catch up. Always good to talk to a little bit of a friend of the program. Like I said, it's ridiculous out there. I'm going to ask Ed about that. He played baseball at a high level. I'm going to ask him about that when he joins. Either way, we got a lot of stuff to get into today. We're going to jump into the NBA. We'll do that right after this. This is the Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up!" Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today at the special time. Make sure you're checking us out live, generally every day at 1 o'clock. Today, like I said, was a special event, so we are pushed a little bit later today and tomorrow at 3:30. You also can catch us on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Make sure you download the apps. Google Play Store, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Make sure you check us out. Download those apps. Follow us at The Cave Show. It's brought to you by The Sports Cave, so you know when we have a new show up. We're also on replay at 3 o'clock daily on Casual Sports Radio Network. So we are all over the place. We are on outlets. No reason not to find us. Okay, everyone, so check this out. Milwaukee beat up Boston. And it really wasn't close, to be honest with you. Boston, and we'll get into this with the Suns and the Mavs too, but Boston played a team in the first round that just doesn't play defense. And so everything they wanted, they got. And KD isn't going to muscle you. He's not going to push you. He's not going to do all that thing, all those things. So they were able to manhandle him. Can't manhandle Giannis the other way around. He's going to manhandle you. And with or without Chris Middleton, Milwaukee's too good for Boston. They just are. They just don't have enough scoring to beat Milwaukee. And they don't play physical enough against that team. Now, I do think some things are irritating. And I'll give you the first one. You can't guard Giannis if he's allowed to uproot you. And I've said this before. There's a couple times where he's literally dipped his shoulder, rooted the defender. Now, even though I don't think that should be a no call, I can live with the no call. I can't live with, well, I guess I don't have a choice, the refs giving him that foul call and the and one. So if you're the person that's being uprooted, you can't be the person that committed the foul. Not if you're the one that's uprooted. You can't guard him if that's the way the refs are going to call it. You can't. He's already impossible to guard. But you can't let him dip his shoulder and move you out your space, and then you get the foul. They may as well call a foul on someone sitting on a bench if they do that. But I don't think this series is going to be close. I think Boston scratches out a win or two. But they're a series, and if you watch enough basketball, you'll understand what I mean by this. There are times teams win 4-2, and it's tough fought, and it's hard both ways, kind of like Phoenix and the Pelicans. And then there are times where it's 4-2, and you look back and you go, yeah, that should have been a sweep. And I think that's what this is going to be. If Boston loses game two at home, they're done. They're not going to go back to Milwaukee and win two. They're not. This is their series right here. This is a must-win game two. Must win. The other series is different. Even though I think Miami and Philadelphia, I think Miami wins that. I think they win it in six as well, depending on Joel Embiid. If Philly loses tonight in Miami, all Miami did was hold home court. And if Joel Embiid comes back for game three, I think that has a chance to be a real series. I still think Miami wins in six based on Joel Embiid. And as good as a Bam Adebayo is, he can't guard Joel Embiid. Just can't. Side note, just came across literally 2 minutes ago. Tyler Hero from Miami won Sixth Man of the Year. So congratulations. He really rededicated himself to basketball, and you can really see it this year. So congratulations to him. I think there's a lot of undue pressure right now on James Harden with Philadelphia. James Is it the same James? And for whatever reason, we know 33, 34 isn't what it used to be because of nutrition, because of rest, because of a lot of things. But 33 is still 33. 12, 13 years in with deep playoff runs, adding a couple more years, that still tends to wear you down. And James isn't the same. One, he doesn't get the same foul call. NBA changed a lot of rules. And even before, he didn't parade to the free throw line 15, 16 times. Only Giannis gets to do that. James is now a distributor that threatens you. He's not going to get 20, 25 shots nightly. He's going to have one game this series where you go, whoa, we're back in that Wayback Machine. That's not going to happen every night. And Miami has an ability mentally to play you tough and play you physical. James does not like that. So without Joel, you got to look for him, Tobias Harris, Maxi, you got to look for them to get off. But when they're being manhandled, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. They 100% need Joel. Without Joel, this is a sweep. With him, it's six, possibly seven. Without him, this is a sweep. Give me Miami tonight. And the other game tonight, we have Memphis and Golden State. Everything possible was set up for Golden State to lose that game. Klay misses two free throws. Draymond gets ejected. And they still win. This is where playoff experience helps. This is another must win. If Golden State goes up 2-0, winning both games in Memphis, that series is over. This is a must win for Memphis tonight. A must win. There is nothing they can do with them. Nothing. If they go down 2-0. Yeah, this isn't Minnesota. Golden State is smart. Yeah, they still make some careless turnovers, but they're a smart team. Minnesota was a talented team, but they're not the brightest on the court all the time. And it showed, and they're young, and they'll get better, and they'll improve, but that's down the line to get smarter. I have to. I like what Golden State does. They don't have to worry about a lot of things because they all shoot. All of them. Klay, Steph, and Jordan Poole in the game at the same time, who do you double? And when they go small with those three and Wiggins and Draymond, impossible team to stop. Impossible team to stop. Must win game for Memphis. The one thing that Golden State does is they find your weakness, and they exploit it. They exploit it. I know Memphis had a shot at the end. I do. But those are the games Golden State wins. Those are the games Memphis won against Minnesota. They're not going to win like that against Golden State. So I'm really anxious to see what happens tonight. Really anxious. Hey, listen, make sure you follow us on social media at Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave starts with a K. You get me directly on the Twitter as well at PLR on Sports. So this is a treat. This is a treat. We only have a few minutes with the great one. And I'm going to hit him with everything. And you're going to love the insight. And whatever you don't get, you're going to get it on Saturday. When you listen to his show, Easy Sports Talk Radio. So right now, without any further ado, bring him in the right way. My man, my brother in crime, the one, the only, Ed Smith. Brother Ed.
What, What's going on, Brother Paul? Always good to be on with you, man.
And, you know, since I got a whole bunch of questions, I figured I'd play a little 50. You know, and he had 21 questions. I figured I had a few myself for you. What's happening, Brother Ed?
Man, it's all good, man. Just enjoying these playoffs so far. Excited for your sons and, you know, real curious to see how this is all going to play out. But, you know, in this great time of the year, we obviously just had the draft, a lot to talk about. And then, unfortunately, some other things with our Cardinals to talk about as well.
I tell you what, let's start with that. And we'll work our way into it. So DeAndre Hopkins got popped for PEDs. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it's the end of the world. I really don't. I think you have a veteran of 8-9 years of the NFL that had an injury, something that he's never really had, and I think he wanted to speed up the process. And so he took something. I don't buy that. I don't know what I took. I never buy that because athletes know what they put in their body. And I think he was trying to speed up the process, and he got busted. That's my thought. I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
I'm with you along the lines of I don't buy the – I don't know – what could have caused this, because as you mentioned, every athlete knows exactly what they're putting in their body, all the way down to the supplements and the food, you name it. And, you know, and I always say everybody has a reason for what they do, and I actually talked about that a little bit earlier today with Javon on our Believe in Arizona Cardinals podcast. I mean, you can't cast judgment. I mean, who knows what might have took him to that point. I will say it's a stupid move when you know how easy it is to get popped and what the consequences are. But like, as you mentioned, we don't know what and why he was doing it. Like I said, we probably won't, because they don't let that information usually get out there.
And like I said, you know, it's funny. If this is baseball, oh, he's a pariah. He's the worst person in sports. In football, he comes back game 7 or 8, and he balls out the rest of the season. Everyone forgets it.
Yeah.
We don't even mention it. And I was going to say real quick, and he has fresh legs at the end. So no one's even going to mention it then.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing how different the sports are and the perception of everything is. And part of it is because of how baseball, they tried to pull the three-card Monty on us all those years ago and, you know, just pretend like it wasn't even there when we knew it was. Whereas football, we've always kind of had an inkling. We see these big, strong dudes out there getting bigger, faster, stronger from every one generation to the next. And, you know, that's not all evolution. We know there's from time to time there's a little assistance. But, yeah, baseball with their uppityness, I think they pretty much kind of turned us all off. Whereas football, you know, you get popped, you pay your penance, and you come back. And like you said, in most instances, it's forgotten shortly thereafter.
So I don't believe in draft grades. I don't. Because I think it's the one sport in football you can't just come out and say, oh, they nailed the draft. Because unlike basketball, where you kind of know if someone can play or not, we don't know how these kids develop and what they're going to develop into. I can say I like what teams did in their philosophy, and I've been hard on Steve Kime. But I really like the trade for Marquise Brown. I like what they did drafting the tight end, the kid out of Colorado State. And I like the direction that they're going in. I like that they got an edge rusher in round 3 and 4, because you know better than anybody. Round 3 or 4 in the NFL, or round 2 or 3, excuse me, NFL, they play. They don't sit. They play.
Yeah, you know, I'm right there, which I think they got quality, Brother Paul, but I'm not sold on their direction, meaning I, at some point in before rounds 6 and 7, would have addressed our offensive line. Obviously, the only addition we had to it, obviously, we got Hudson last year, but this year it seemed like, you know, we brought in Will Hernandez, and in my opinion, that's not going to get it done. And you see what happened against the Rams in the playoffs. My if I would have done anything differently, I would have picked up some offensive linemen sooner rather than even, you know, heaven forbid, how could I even say this, Brother Paul? Before I got another tight end, I would have shored up that offensive line. You know I love my tight ends. That's hard for me even to even have the words come out of my mouth. But I do think we have more pressing issues in terms of offensive line that I wish we would have addressed before the sixth and seventh round or had done it in free agency. If you do it in free agency, you don't have to repeat the process in the draft. We didn't do either, if you ask me, and I just think that's going to continue to be a glaring hole for the Cardinals moving forward.
Now, what about – let me ask this way. What about development? Because to me, a lot of times with the Cardinals and offensive line, it sometimes to me it doesn't matter who they pick, who they sign. It just seems like they don't develop their line any better than what they have. It to me, that seems to be the biggest point than who they have on the team. It's the development of who they have.
That's true. But the other part is, Paul, if you're trying to develop first and second and third round linemen in comparison to fifth, sixth, and seventh round linemen, you know, that's where, like I said, when you pick earlier talent more to work with, in my opinion, that's when, you know, like I said, you can see these guys come, you know, mature over those first couple of years. Like I said, you're picking guys always late in the draft. You know, I don't care how much you develop them. If there's not enough talent there to develop, you hit their ceiling so much earlier. Whereas, like, you know, if you go get some of those first and second round linemen, you know, you can see the unfinished product eventually. It's going to be Pro Bowl material. We just haven't done that over the course of these last bunch of years as we've tracked the Cardinals. So, I mean, that would be the only way I could answer that question. Like I said, if you get them earlier, you have the ability to, you know, get more out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here with me here on the KSO PLR, Easy Sports Talk, the man himself, Ed Smith. So I've been hard on time. I've made no secret about it. I haven't liked a lot of stuff that he did. I'm having a hard time, though, taking shots at him this time. Just, I know they could do more on offensive line, but I like how they addressed the problem under the radar in getting Marquise Brown. And honestly, I think the kid, his name just escaped me, the young receiver they got last year from the Big Ten, I think he's going to have more catches this year with them shipping off my man to Jacksonville. I think there's more catches for him. You know, so I like what they've done offensively in terms of the skill position. And let's not forget, Connor did rush for 18 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to get more out of it. What's that young man's name? I can't believe I'm drawing the blank as well, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I think they'll figure out ways to utilize him more and get more out of his talent. I mean, you know, man, that doesn't necessarily mean just throwing him the ball, but some, you know, down the field, some bubble screens, some jet sweeps, different things like that. Connor and Kyler Murray kind of masked the offensive line by being so productive. You know, I love what Connor did. Can he do that again with, you know, this line being what it is? We'll see. If he can repeat that process, then it buys you time in terms of having to put, you know, stock into that offensive line. I just continue. I look around the league, man. I see the teams that are very successful. Man, they got that front five locked down and on the other end as well. You got to remember, we also lost Chandler Jones, and I know we made a couple of third round and a couple other picks as far as picking up some edge and some D linemen. You know, that's going to be a tough one to fill. But, you know, offensively, like I said, I just wish, like I said, we'll see how, if they take steps forward. And sometimes it's a matter of those, you know, offensive linemen, the longer and more they play together, the more cohesion they get and the better they become. I just, you know, I worry about the amount of talent that's on that line that, like I said, sometimes is covered up. And you think about it, even Kyler Murray's escapability, you see how many times he gets out of trouble and turns what would have been a sack into a 10 or 11-yard scamper. A lot of that, like I said, those stats don't get shown, you know, like he basically rescued them. A quarterback of lesser ability, man, those sack totals would be through the roof. So, like I said, it's interesting. I'm not going to take anything away from Kyle because, you know, I think he's done a decent job. And, you know, it's all opinions, Brother Paul. I could be dead wrong on everything I said. It's just my thought process leads me. I would wish he would have done this, but how many armchair quarterbacks, Monday morning quarterbacks are there out there, including myself. So, you know, we'll see how it all rolls out moving forward.
And Rondell Moore is his name.
There you go.
Yep. Okay, so I want to ask one question before we go to before we jump sports here. So all I hear is, oh, wow, Denver, what? Look at what Denver did. They plug and play the QB. Oh, look at their defense. Oh, look at their wide receivers. They're going to be the second-best team behind Buffalo. Now, I said this in the first segment, Ed. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I thought Kansas City was in the AFC Championship game 4 years ago. And I thought they were in the AFC Championship game 3 years ago. And I thought they were in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. And I thought they were in the AFC Championship game last year with two Super Bowl appearances and a win. So they lose one wide receiver, and all of a sudden they're uprooted? Maybe I missed something. Maybe you can tell me what I missed.
No, I'm right there with you, Paul. It's like I'm trying to figure out what a team has to do, you know, and like you said, it's not like they've fallen from the rooftop to the cellar of their division. You know, they have a Super Bowl ring, another Super Bowl appearance, you know, like you said, AFC championships. I guess we're measuring them against a very high standard that they might have created on their own. But there's the sky is definitely not falling in Kansas City, and I guarantee you within the walls of their locker rooms and the meeting rooms, none of them are panicking out there as well, even minus the great Tyreek Hill. They'll find a way. You know, they've already went out, done some things free agent-wise. They, you know, drafted well. They'll figure out a way to incorporate those great ingredients they have to still put a nice, tasty and delicious, nutritious meal on the table when the time comes.
and they still have that alien playing quarterback, right?
Yeah. I think they're going to be okay. A whole lot of teams wish they were in their position.
I know how they – real world, look, they got a rich people problem. It's like when a rich person files bankruptcy. When billionaires file bankruptcy, it's like, oh, okay. Who do they not want to pay some money to? Because they're not broke.
There you go.
All right. So I got to jump clear to another sport on you. I want to ask you a baseball question. The Cincinnati Reds are 3-19, and I looked at their payroll, and their payroll is one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen in my life. You got Joey Votto making $25 million. The next guy is making $16 million. The next guy is making $5 million, and then it drops off. They're running out a minor league team. How is that allowed in baseball today?
I have no idea, Brother Paul. That is a travesty. I thought, and, you know, as we were getting ready to talk baseball with the Diamondbacks a few weeks ago, you know, spring training was wrapping up, that short version. I was looking at the payroll stats myself, and I thought where the Diamondbacks were, and I was like, damn, that's just a doggone shame. When you put it in comparison with the Dodgers and even the Padres with their division, then you continue scrolling down that list, and you finally get to the Cincinnati Reds, and it's like, man, what are they even trying? And I feel sorry for anybody who is a Cincinnati Reds fan who has, I guess, the misfortune to have to go watch that product that they put on the field. That is just, and then you throw in the fact of what their owner or the owner's son said a few weeks ago about, well, where are they going to go? What are they going to do? Talking about the fans, basically. And you're talking about throwing salt into the wound. It's an embarrassment. And I don't know how baseball itself, meaning the other owners, allow them to do that and put that product on the field. Somehow, some way, they should be forced to at least go out and put a competitive team together. You mentioned minor league team. Yeah, that's not even a triple-A team. That's a AA/high-A team. And I've been there to know what that talent is like. That's just a doggone shame that they can take a proud – franchise like that and turn it into basically a joke of what it used to be.
I'm not saying this kid is bad. I've never seen Aramis Garcia play. I haven't. But when your starting catcher makes $700,000 and his backup makes $700,000, and you can't tell me they're attempting to field a professional baseball team. You just simply can't tell me that. When your starting second baseman isn't even a utility player because they don't have a true second baseman. You can't tell me they're trying to win.
Not even that. Like I said, you look at, you know, just the fact that you just mentioned right there, the not, because a lot of times they'll have your starters making however much, your backup is the dude that's making that little money. You got two guys in the same position making under $1 million in this day and age. You know, the one thing I can say is it's great for those young dudes that probably on anybody else's team, they'd be still, you know, ruffling around in the minor leagues. They're getting an opportunity, you know, at the big league level, but that can't feel good if you're watching that team or evaluating them, because that's just not right. And then what's bad is a lot of those young players, they're, you know, I hope they don't get discouraged by the amount of beatdowns they're going to take in this 162, because we won 52 out here in the desert last year, and I was like, that's a doggone shame. They might be struggling to get anywhere near 52 this year.
Yeah, that's not a lot. On air with me on the KSHO PLR, the one only Ed Smith, Easy Sports Talk Radio, heard every Saturday morning on 1060 AM. All right, so I'm going to read this to you. This is a tweet I sent. The Suns are 10-0 against the Mavericks in their last 10 times they played. Luka played in 7 of those games. He scored 45, 28, 25, 29, 32, 18, and 40. Hasn't made a difference. Miss me with the BS. And yes, 3 of those games were when the Suns were in the bottom of the bubble. I am tired of hearing this nonsense that the Mavericks still have a shot to beat the Suns. If the Suns lose more than one game in this series, it's the Suns. They've tried everything in Dallas to beat them. They've tried, you know, Luka going off, Luka assisting, Luka deferring. It doesn't matter. They don't match up against this team, and the Suns are just a flat out better. Why is it so hard for people to understand?
For some reason, Paul, still people don't want to give the Suns their due. And I actually was, you know, getting ready for our show later this week, and I just got to, after watching last night's game, I put it in my notes. Basically, it's the Suns team, and I put that in parentheses, against Luka. I mean, he has no support over there, and how people can think that they match up well. I mean, I even talked about it on last week's show. This should be a field day for Andre Ayton. They have absolutely nobody of size that can match up with him athletically. So, I mean, and I'm not saying Monty should be force-feeding him, but Monty should be making sure that Ayton is definitely involved in these game plans. That'll make the quickest work of these Mavericks, because they have nobody to contest with him. And then you look at the number of bodies, that wing bodies that we can throw on Luka, and I don't care. He can get his 45. I heard something yesterday. He had 45 yesterday, and the other 4 starters couldn't outscore him. They had totaled 39 points. So as long as we let him get his, and, you know, and he's going to have to get it in so many creative ways, the more we can make him work, 45 doesn't mean a thing if the rest of your team is only chipping in 39. So, you know, this should be a real quick series. How people, as you said, just don't, maybe they just don't want to buy into it, Brother Paul, but the fact and reality is the Suns are a much better team as a whole, and this shouldn't even be a contest. Should be over in no more than 5.
Last night, while I was at the game, I looked at the there was a monitor right in front of me, and I had to send this one out. Luka had 31. Kleyber had 16. No one else had more than 5. You can't beat the Suns like that. You simply can't. And I love how people say, well, Brunson will get better, he will. And Dinwiddie will get better, he will. But every point they get is a point off of what Luka gets. It's not like he's going to get 45 and they're going to score high. The Suns are doing a great job staying attached. And I just – to me, it's more national media. I know they got the guy on Fox. I can't think of his name now. Nick Wright, who is whining that Luka's the best player in the NBA behind Giannis, and whining about this and whining about that. It's too early, and I'm gonna keep saying it until I see something different. He is James Harden, and what James Harden did in Utah: dribble a lot, usage rate high, and then either take a step back, drive, or drive and kick. It's the same offense that doesn't win titles.
Well, and the other thing too, Brother Paul, is the Mavericks, they have one of the slowest paces in the NBA, and that's by design. Obviously, everything runs through Luka. They can afford to fall behind to us. You saw what happened, 9-0 run to start the game, and it felt like they were never in that game trying to play catch-up the whole time, and part of it was because of that slow pace. And you saw what happens. We get out and we start running, it's a totally different ball game. So for me, as long as the Suns continue to do what they're supposed to do, the only team that can beat the Suns in this series is the Suns, and I don't see that happening.
Agreed.
I love the way Monty has them playing and, you know, not taking anything lightly. We're going to get through this series, get ready for the next, and then maybe after we dust these Mavericks off quickly, people will start to think a little higher of us.
I'm going to give you something that's just an insult. The Suns were in the NBA Finals last year. The Suns had the best record in the NBA. It wasn't even close. The four letter doesn't even have a beat writer out here for the Suns. And now
Wow. Everybody
from every network is out here covering the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're all experts when no one was out here with this team once. I find that absolutely hilarious. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a couple things last night that I love. Devin Booker set the tone, and people aren't really saying this. When he blocked Brunson's shot and picked up that early tech for talking trash, what he basically told him was, that shit ain't going to work against us. I mean, there's no other way to say it. You know, that we're not Utah. And when he looked at Luka, when he put him on skates and looked at him before he shot the shot and then looked back at him, said, you keep being in your mind the best. We're about to show you. Those are, people don't realize, as great as Chris Paul is, as great as he is, Devin Booker is really the one. And we saw that in the regular season. Chris Paul was out. The Suns kept winning with Booker. Booker was out. The Suns struggled. He is the linchpin. And no one wants to give him that credit.
Yeah, the fact that he didn't even get MVP consideration, Brother Paul, I still find it just mind-boggling. And I don't know, maybe it's going to take him getting this title, hopefully coming up here where eyes are eventually open. But, you know, and I know, no disrespect, because Chris Paul is obviously a great part of this engine, somebody who makes everything, you know, move out here. But, I mean, it's more than it's about just Chris Paul. They consistently talk about, well, he's the engine, he's this. Yeah, but I tell you what, Devin Booker, he makes things go and makes them do what they do out here. And at some point, hopefully he gets his due respect because, yeah, that man, he's got to go home every night thinking, what the hell do I have to do to get me a little respect around here? But like I said, keep going. Yeah.
Well, it's no secret. I've been on this narcotic for a while, and it's a good narcotic. I've been trying to get people on this narcotic with me, and I think everyone's finally come around.
Brother Paul, I might even take a hit with you myself, man. I know. Over the course of the last bunch of years, I've been trying to talk you off of it, whereas now I'm like, hey, I need to go sit down with my brother and get me a hit of that too.
You know what, though, brother? One thing I noticed when James Jones came in, and I don't remember if you hear me say this, but I said for the first time, they actually have a plan that I think is going to work. I said the other time it was fan rooting, but James Jones has a plan. And I don't know if you remember me saying that, but you could really see his plan. And he stuck to it. And no matter what people said, he didn't. You know, everyone who said he didn't deserve the job because he had never done it, you can't find him no more. You know, you can't find none of those people anymore. So,
yeah, I mean, but it's funny too, Paul, because, you know, I'll tell you, I talk about it all the time. Do you realize it was just a short 2+ years ago when we were the joke of the league and just how quickly – you know, people forget all of a sudden now it's like, oh, my sons. There were a lot of people that were, you know, crying about how bad it was out here. And now all of a sudden everybody's on the bandwagon when you've been riding or dying for as long as I can remember. So kudos to you, man, for, like I said, hitting that narcotic, staying on it. And there's a whole bunch of people that are running around that I don't think they have the right to even sit down and smoke with you, bro, because they weren't there. They weren't there through the tough times.
Well, and it's legal now, too. I'm going to say this real quick, because time is about to get us. The Milwaukee series is on a game is on against Boston. It is impossible to guard Giannis. I've never seen anyone get so many calls in my life. And that goes for Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. I've never seen anyone able to uproot players and never get a charge call. Never.
Man, he runs through them too, bro. Yeah, when you're giving him that kind of leeway, bro, there, and I've actually seen it, bro, watch the game. Some dudes, they make business decisions when it comes to trying to stand in there, take that charge, because it's almost like, why am I going to stand in there, take the charge, and it's not going to get called? I'm going to get called for a block. So you know what I do? Olé.
Yo, bro, tell everyone where they can check you out at.
Every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon out here, Arizona time, on the Easy Sports Talk Show, KDUS 1060 AM. We also do it on the Facebook page, the Easy Sports Talk Show, on Twitter and Instagram, at Ed Smith Speaks, bro. And as always, I love jumping on with you, man.
Hey, I appreciate you spending some time with me. And go Suns in five. Suns in five. The law of averages says Dallas has to win one. Well, I'm not national media fan. Oh, the Suns have beat them 10 out of the last 11. No, it's 10 in a row. So they can swing it any way they want. Suns in five. So, yo, bro,
hey,
I appreciate
just remember,
it.
Hey, just remember, everything in moderation, bro. Don't hit that narcotic too hard.
Oh, yeah, and tell your partner in crime, the Lakers are rolling through as a team to watch how you win in today's playoffs, not the Kobe playoffs.
I'll make sure I do that. I always love hitting him up on that. Thanks, man.
All right, brother. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Appreciate you, Brother Paul.
All right, now. The one, the only Ed Smith, Easy Sports Talk Radio. Make sure you are checking him out every single Saturday. All right, everyone. I appreciate you hanging with me today. Special time. We will be back tomorrow, same time, 3:30, doing it up. And then we'll go back on Thursday to 1 o'clock, and that'll be live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. All right, everyone, until next time, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll be really Star Wars heavy tomorrow. Follow us at The Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cave is with the K, and you can get me on the Twitter directly at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, everyone take care. This has been The Cave Show with PLR. Temps, bring us home. Thank you.